The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome into Rover Sports. It's a fine Tuesday night, another beautiful fall night, and there's always things to talk about here in Philly. And if you notice, we've been focusing on all football the last month or two. We haven't mentioned a word of the Sixers, but yet, it's come to roost. The Sixers have finally found a way to splash headlines, and that is the big boy himself, Mr. Big Boy Embiid, has certainly garnished headlines today for being, much like Blutarsky in the movie Animal House, fat, lazy, and a G.0 of 0.0. On that note, on that very happy note, Josh, why don't you tell us the news that broke today?
So apparently, there was a game last night. Sixers looked terrible in Miami. Embiid, they had a team meeting, and Joel Embiid was basically called out by his teammates for continually to show up late, his lack of work ethic in practice, his lack of passion during the game. You saw that last night. He didn't even get to the free throw line. It looked many ways, Doc. He was jogging from foul line to foul line. Wasn't doing anything. Was, you know, in many ways a detriment. And the Sixers are off to one of the worst starts they have in recent memory. What are they, 2-12, 2-13?
Is it 2-12 or 2-11?
2-11.
Colin,
like
what
11.
Is it?
2-11.
2-11. It feels like 2-13, though, so, but it's 2-11.
I mean, Paul George looks awful. The big free agent signing, you know, he doesn't look very good. The bright spot is the rookie, Jarrett McCane and Tyrese Maxey. But Embiid is being called out by some of his teammates. Tyrese Maxey called him out. It leaked. For years, Howard Eskins has been reporting that he constantly shows up whenever he wants, and there's been no discipline about it. Well, now all of a sudden he's upset about the fact that it's come out about him, so he's not very happy.
Charlie, I know that you've certainly been vocal about Embiid. You're a smarter man than me. I should have given up my season tickets, but I did not. I still have them, and now I get to take a knife and fork to most of the games. What do you think about this news?
I got to tell you, number one, the Sixers, if this continues, this will be probably the biggest story in the NBA in 10 years. I mean, just the expectations to what is happening. Another part is, wasn't there a time where things like this stayed in the clubhouse? Who leaked this, and why did they leak this? I mean, I think this is very low class, whoever leaked it. Again, I in a way, look, we're all happy it came out because we get to hear it, but I'm more concerned with, look, this team must be really ripping apart at the seams if this got out into the press. So this is supposed to be a closed-door meeting, and apparently this got out 5 minutes after the meeting. So that's the concern. Again, I don't have answers. I mean, I watch the games, and these guys, I mean, Embiid looks like a shell of himself. Paul George doesn't look like the same player. Like, is Maxey going to make all the difference when he comes back? I sure hope so.
Yeah, my feeling is I see the same thing that you do. And again, we're gonna peel back the layers. The thing about Embiid is, I remember when Brett Brown was the coach, and he said that he had a cold. But actually, what we know, I'll just say what the rumors are. The rumors are he was out with multiple. This is before he got married, so he was single. He was allowed to do this. He was out with multiple women, and he was out all night drinking. And he was hungover, and basically he couldn't. He said he had a cold and he couldn't play. And this was a eve of a playoff game, so that just summates with the fact that the town has given him so much adulation. Every time he steps up the line, MVP, MVP. And personally, as a season ticket holder since Allen Iverson, okay, that's a long time. That's 30 years. It's just. As I'm just disgusted, and I'm going to give up my tickets, and I share it with people who I care about, but it's just The whole, this franchise, this ownership group, they sold us Andrew Bynum. And they did it knowing full well he would never play. So they just have done stuff like this the whole time. And the only, and Embiid, they're never going to trade him, or because Embiid sells out every single game, and all they care about is money. These are financial people, and it angers me. Firstly, just like we noticed, I look at Paul George, and you know, it's not just like Embiid's the only one. Paul George looks totally out of shape too. It's more than a hyperextended knee. He looks disinterested. They're just throwing up shots. There's no hustle at all. There's no defense. It's a shame. The only Jared McCain does look really good. This guy, Yabusele, or I call Yabba Dabba Do Right. This guy, number one, he looks like he could double as an inside linebacker, which is really good. And, you know, a guy like that is catching my attention. But the way the Heat absolutely dismantled him last night, they had a 3-point lead. And look at the third quarter. Tyler Hero. There's guys. Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, they have heart. They just took them apart. Jimmy Butler, 30 points. This team has no heart. It's very frustrating. Spets.
Well, this team is still, I mean, I think that Maxey, I think you do need a point guard for this team. But this team is really, they thought that they can kind of ease into the season. I mean, with the no back-to-backs that have come from coaches, ownership, and players, they've basically said that we're not going to go for the first overall seed. We're going to put a cap on our ability by the Stars having this back-to-back restriction, which has almost never happened in NBA history. This team just might not be that good. Like, Paul George might just be older, might be washed up. Caleb Martin has been really disappointing. And in Miami, there's a reason he was available, because he was a bad regular season player that would mask as a great playoff player. So you look at this roster.
Kind of like Paul George. Is that what Paul George's rap is too? Great playoff player?
No, he was actually a very good regular season player, but he hasn't played a lot of games. I still have faith that George is going to be great. George is going to be very good, because George is a guard. He ages well. He can shoot the cover off the dang basketball. But here's the thing about the Sixers.
Talk about Embiid. Let's flip to Embiid. What are your thoughts on Embiid?
Embiid is, he's getting older. First of all, he was sick yesterday. I think he's going to play a lot better. I have no idea why this meeting was, why this meeting took place, or why we're hearing about it. The meeting, it probably happens in every single basketball. I don't think it's a huge story. I really don't. I think that it happens in every team. I mean, Josh, you hold players accountable all the time. People have hard conversations all the time. It's not some taboo gotcha moment.
Well, Spencer, I mean, I coach at Penn Charter. Let me tell you something. Our players are dealing with a lot right now, because they're dead tired from all the running, because we're holding them accountable.
Right.
Charlie, this news happens when teams are falling apart. You know this. All of a sudden, a story leaks about a college football coach in the middle of a season when they're going down. Everyone thinks the guy's going to get fired. This is no surprise. In many ways, guys maybe younger who want to establish themselves as a leader, like Tyrese Maxey. You know, maybe he leaked the story and look at it and saying, this is my team. I want to beat out these trust the process guys have to go, because the process has been going nowhere. I mean, Charlie, they're awful. They're awful. I think it's a ridiculous of contract that they even signed Embiid for. You know, he hasn't done anything. Everyone said, oh, he's going to go in the Olympics and be around all these guys for 3 weeks. He's going to develop and really mature. He's a clown. He's a zero. I want nothing to do with him. I've wanted him gone for a number of years. I can't stand this.
Charlie, please comment on that.
Yep, I think you and I, Coach, for the last couple of years have both been saying, if they were going to win with Embiid, they would have won by now. And you know, it's been a couple of years now where it's classic bad GM. When you have a maximum value Embiid had probably 2 years ago. Right now, honestly, you've had people who would take him, but what are you going to get for him? Maybe a mid-first-round pick? So the Sixers are in a really bad situation now. They're almost forced to work it out, because you're not going to really get anything for Embiid. Like I said, you might get a mid-first-round pick. You're not going to try to rebuild around him, so you're not going to get one of these, you know, terrible teams to pick him up. So the only thing that would be somebody who's got some cap room that wants to win a title. So I think the Sixers are in a really, really bad state right now. I would love to say I feel they're going to get it together and come back and make a playoff, huge playoff run. I just don't see it.
But Charlie, also the Oklahoma City have the Sixers pick this year, so they can't even really get a great draft pick. But the reason why I don't want to get rid of Embiid is because his value is at its lowest. So you need Embiid. If he plays a couple more months, he's going to probably play a decent week of basketball. Right now, he's easing into the season. He's playing terribly. I don't expect that to hold up the whole entire season. But you have Paul George, you have Eric Gordon, and Kyle Lowry. No one's going to want Paul George's salary. So you're in a win now mode. You put all your chips in for this year. You can't just punt on this year because you are all in with this team.
Spencer, you are counting on Kyle Lowry, who's 40 years old. He's in the tail end. Paul George, in many ways, no one else is going to pay him that type of contract.
He's here for four more years.
The Clippers, they've this is a bad franchise.
Josh, this team is ready to win now. You can't just punt. You can't trade Embiid. You just can't. And also, you don't want to give in to Embiid. If Embiid's not happy here, he needs to figure out a way to make it work here because he signed the extension here, and that's what he has to do. Don't let Embiid have the easy way out. He wants to get traded. Why would you do that?
They may be in win now mode, but I'll tell you what, if they don't go 7-3 in their next 10 games, that's it. That's all she wrote. They're going to struggle to make the playoffs. Forget making a run. Yeah, their schedule is easy right now. It gets tougher come mid-December and end of December. This is the easy part of the schedule. They haven't gone, they got the Celtics, they got Golden State, they got Phoenix, they got OKC. I mean, Cleveland two or three times in the next 30 days starting in mid-December. The Mavericks, the Celtics three times. I mean, they're playing the cream puff part of their schedule right now. The next 10 games, they have to go 7-3 or better, or they're in deep trouble.
I'm going to respond to what Josh said. It's right. This is outrageous. But this franchise has been involved with outrageous things for the last decade. I'm looking right now at an article from 2018 in The Ringer. I'm looking right at it. Brian Colangelo, him and his wife using a burner phone. When's the last time this happened? Where he's using a burner phone to make comments about the team, his own team that he's supposed to be, and he had to leave in shame. And also, the whole idea of tanking, this whole idea of tanking was something so obvious that Brett Brown and this ownership group presided over that. And now they have Morey, and you thought Morey would be different. You had Elton Brand, who's still there for some reason. And then you have Morey, who in Houston seemed like a smart guy. We saw him, actually, speaking of the Ringer, we saw him in Vegas. And Morey, we liked Morey. We thought he was smart. Yeah. But I think that this ownership group basically has these guys, they've got like a bag on their heads. Nick Nurse, I've always respected him. But the fact that they put Nick Nurse up to saying that both, not just one, but both George and Embiid would not be playing back-to-backs the whole season. And this is George just having a hyperextended knee. So you're basically telling your fans that you've got to look at the schedule and see, you got to see what part of the back-to-back you're not going to. And why would they, and I know the answer, they signed a guy who's just a name. This ownership group signed Paul George because he's a name, and they told Morey to sign him, and they told Nurse to coach him. They could have gotten three no-name players who might have been good, young players. But you want this team to be something? You can't just have old guys that are going to be on load management. It's really disgusting.
Bruce, I disagree with a couple of your statements. Go ahead. I think that Paul George last year, he played 80 games. That was one of his best seasons.
One of the only times he wasn't hurt, though.
Right, on the Clippers, but they didn't plan it. Daryl Morey, he went for it. He got the starts. I was excited about this season because this roster on paper from Morey has talent. Like, Paul George has been a star in this league, and Embiid. I don't blame Daryl Morey because he went for it. And guess what? In the summer, I was complimenting Morey, and frankly, I think you were as well.
Well, you're right. I mean, the fact of the matter
so
is,
I don't blame
but
I, Morey.
But we're
mistakes
at a,
happen.
We're at a distance. However, they were the ones that worked this guy out, signed him, negotiated with him. We weren't. We're reacting to it. The old Paul George is an older guy. You've seen situations.
Yep.
The running back for the Seattle Seahawks.
Or just
remember
like,
that guy?
It could be like Aaron Rodgers.
Guys fall off the world. Yeah. Look at Aaron Rodgers. This year's a perfect example. Aaron Rodgers is not what we remember. The Jets, you could say, well, they're the Jets. But I do have a problem with the idea that they hired a guy, they signed him knowing that they're going to do load management.
Yeah.
Is just really disrespectful.
That's true.
I totally believe that Josh Harris and the ownership group, the only reason they want to move the team to that horrible location at 20th and Market is just so they have another asset so they can sell the team. These people, they just don't care. They're faceless suits, and it makes me angry. The fact that somebody who's a Philadelphian, and I don't know the guy, might be a nice guy, but if Harris, to buy the Redskins, when you're, you know, the audacity of doing that. Now I almost could handle the fact that the Flyers haven't been a relevant team in 15 years. And he's already the owner of the Devils. Owner of the Devils, and he buys the Sixers. Okay, I can handle that. But when you already do that, and you decide you're going to buy the Redskins, which are in the NFC East, the rivals of this for decades and decades, it shows you that you just don't care. And I have no trust in this team. I don't believe anything they say about anything. And I'm very resentful. Go ahead.
He's a helicopter. Go ahead, Josh.
I think Josh Harris is out of touch. I mean, I really do. And in many ways, he's like throwing money and saying, okay, we're having a big birthday party. We're going to have the best ever, but you spend no time with your kids. And that's what kind of reminds me of Doc. Like, he'll spend the money on guys that are just like, oh, look, we're bringing in the star in. But has no value, has no core value. Right now, the Commanders, the Redskins, they love them down there because they're winning down there. You know, the Devils haven't been really that great since he's taken over. The Sixers, you know, hey, we splash stars. You and I, Doc, if we had the money, we could go out and buy stars too. But, you know, you got to see what they are.
Got to be smart.
Yeah.
And if you think, obviously, that Embiid is one guy you have to nurse along, no pun intended, and you bring another guy in who's near the end of his career, who had a terrible knee injury years ago and admittedly fought back from it. I think that Paul George is a character guy. And I'm hoping, and again, it's early in the season, but the fact these traits repeat itself. The fact that Embiid has to be so late, it is only the beginning of the season. He's the one who brought George into this place. The fact that it's like the beginning. When you get hired at a new job, that's when you're at your best, right after the interview. So he convinced the team to bring in Caleb Martin, to bring in Paul George, to re-sign these guys, Kelly Oubre, and he's supposed to be the leader. And you know what? I'm tired of hearing them shout MVP every time. Because you know what? I don't care about that. I don't care about the Olympics either. We are up against the break. We are Rover Sports.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Yeah, we are Rover Sports, and this is just flying along. We're on 97.5 HD2, WWDBAM.com, soon to be on Slaughterhouse Sports and Rover Sports YouTube, and eventually I'm going to reemerge on Facebook after a group from South America actually hacked into my Facebook page. So a lot of you wonder, why am I not there? It's because bad hacking. Luckily, I didn't lose any money. But we're going to be back on Facebook. I miss it a lot. And we have people working feverishly around the clock because I miss just doing a podcast and posting things. And Mike and Matt Vito are two great guys. But Matt, when Matt Vito sends me stuff, I now post it on X, formerly Twitter. I post it on LinkedIn. And I have to chop it up to post it on these other. And I email everybody I know. And he does such a wonderful job. And Colin does such a great job. But it would be so much easier just to put it on Facebook. So with that soliloquy, we're going to get right back to it. Charlie, what's good? Now, you mentioned the next 10 games are pivotal. Do you see any world where they trade Embiid? And if so, what are they going to get back?
At best case, the mid first round pick. The days of getting two first round picks are over. The day of even getting a good first round pick are probably over. Especially when they smell blood in the water, those offers will be a lot worse than the Sixers even anticipated. Now, should they trade them? Probably not, because I think this is it. If they don't make it this year, you got to blow the whole thing up and build around Maxey. So you go all in and you live with the consequences. You're stuck with George for another 4 years and Beat for, what, another two after this? So, yeah, you're hemmed in, man. I think you got to go all in because you don't have a choice.
You know what? This also brings me deja vu with Ben Simmons. It also Harden. We didn't even talk about that. This franchise has had nothing but drama. Nothing but drama. And Markelle Fultz. It's interesting. The only two guards, and I'm talking elementary school, and I remember you in elementary school for some reason.
I was a good basketball player. Well, that's when point. I peaked in every aspect of life.
Well, please don't flatter yourself. But in any event, you were very mature back then.
I was great at
spelling. And now, as you would say, and not so much, but in any event, you never were afraid to shoot the ball. You always loved to shoot the ball. All guards like to shoot the ball. I'm not the youngest guy, but the fact that Markelle Fultz and Ben Simmons, the only two guys in history, the only two guards that didn't like shooting the ball and were afraid to shoot the ball, reticent. This has been a clown show. This has been like a freak show.
Doc, you know, it's interesting. We talk about the clown show that the franchise has been. Let's not forget, at one point you had Jimmy Butler, and you'd choose between Jimmy Butler and Jimmy Butler. They used to pull Ben Simmons out because Jimmy would run the point. At one point, they chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler because they didn't want to hurt Ben Simmons' feelings. That's how bad this franchise is. Think about that.
Let me amplify that. I remember this distinctly. Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick, just the way this thing leaked out about the meeting, this is not the first time. Yeah. There's been a lot of leaks. They basically leaked out the fact that in film study, it was a complete joke. Brett Brown, who was, you know, a good assistant with Pop at the Spurs, it was a complete joke. There was no film study. The meetings, there was no coaching. There was nothing at all. And both of those guys said, we're getting out of here. So it wasn't like Jimmy Butler was gone and J.J. Redick gone. And then who did they signed Tobias.
And,
Al Horford. And Horford, who was out of place. And then after Horford looked like he was slower than Joe Biden on crack. And I mean that in a nice way for Sleepy Joe. But then what happens? What happens? And I'm starting to talk like Tim Dillon. What happens? What happens is that this guy Horford goes back to Boston. He's 50 years old and he has a renaissance and wins a championship.
But here's the deal, Doc. You know what? Al Horford looks like he's back in place, and they know how to play these players. It's always funny. We always used to say, you know, Doc, you've been around smarter people. You get smarter. You learn from them. Embiid seems to drag everybody down, okay? And this franchise, under this cloud of the process, is dragging everybody down. You know, Charlie, for me, you could bring in Steve Kerr. You could bring in Phil Jackson. It's a mindset. And this, when you have a losing mindset like with Embiid, you're just going to continue to lose games. That's why it's disgusting.
Yeah, before we talk to Charlie, I agree. You bring in Nick Nurse, but you tie his hands. Okay, basically, you tell him that these are the teams. You tell him he's going to have to sit two of his stars out. How the hell are you going to win games? And Nurse, what are Nurse's choices? He could either go rogue. He could either go full Chip Kelly and end up where Chip Kelly was, getting fired before the end of the season. Or he could be a good soldier, a loyal soldier, and stay where he is. So it's really, there's so many dilemmas here, and it's just so frustrating. I'm going to throw it to Charlie, then work back to you, Spence. Go ahead.
Yeah, like I said, I stand with what I said before. I think they have no choice. I think they have to try like hell to make it work. This is obviously could be fractured beyond belief already. The fact that story got out says, again, that somebody doesn't respect it and wanted it to get out. So, I mean, they could have all turned in on Embiid at this point. You know, it seems like maybe it's mutiny against Embiid. So, I don't see a way out of this. I think that this could cripple the organization for 2 to 3 years. So I think they hope Maxey comes back and they try to salvage the season at some point.
Yeah, first of all, I don't know why I'm not really that devastated. I know that you guys are big Sixers fans, but these players, they do not care about the fans at all. They don't care a one iota about the city. They're there for a paycheck. And the reason is because they don't play back-to-backs. And they assumed that in the regular season, they could sleepwalk their way into the sixth seed. And then they can turn it on like a magic switch in the playoffs. That's what Embiid and this whole team wanted. So they're looking at it like, Bruce, it's November. We can wake up out of bed and beat the Orlando Magic and go out there and beat teams in the East. And we could be a 500 ball club. And that is what the Sixers are, you know, that's what the Sixers kind of, so I don't really, again, I'm kind of enjoying this because this is karma for not caring. This is karma and they're not in purgatory. It's the most interesting story in the NBA. You're paying this huge salary for all of these stars and they're already breaking. So with Embiid, if he doesn't want to play tomorrow night, like say that Embiid just sits out, you got to fine him and you got to go after Embiid and say that this is unacceptable. Nick Nurse really needs to hold these guys accountable, and or else Nick Nurse is going to be out of a job anyway. Nick Nurse needs to go out swinging because he's the head coach. This is an embodiment of him. He's supposed to be a hard-nosed guy from Northern Iowa, a guy who brought the Raptors a championship. And Nick Nurse, by the way, if you're Nick Nurse, would you rather coddle yourself and get fired or go out swinging your way?
I don't know what coddle yourself means, but it sounds much better than watching this team. And on that happy note, we're gonna transition. Literally, no, not really. We're going to transition to football. And I want to talk just for, because this show is flying by and we knew that we're going to have a ton of Sixers talk at the head of it. And we want to have time to appropriately dissect our fearless picks. After, I can say for the first time ever, I was undefeated 6-0. You, of course, mirrored me. Yeah. Most of the time, you went 5-1.
Grossinger's
and now
win.
Everything's tightened up. Everybody's within two games of one another. And so we got a dogfight coming down the stretch.
Yes, we do, Doc. It was a good week by you. You know, Spencer went 5-1. Kyle and Dr. Lewis also went 4-2. And Charlie and I stumbled out of the gate a little bit.
Well, Charlie, you guys have been leading the pack, you know? Yeah. So just a few words about the Eagles. So firstly, I've been proven wrong to a large extent. Vic Fangio has turned around this defense, and I'm looking at every part of it is on the upswing. Their pass rush seems to be better, and Brandon Graham is playing solidly. You know, and they said that if Graham plays well, they're going to give him another year. So Graham has been unbelievable. Yeah. Josh Sweat, Nolan Smith, who was a complete zero, and it looks like this team is going to have one of its biggest challenges. Ironically, Josh, you know, this is the last time the Eagles are going to be on a plane till the end of the season.
Really?
I just heard that last night from John Clark, who's a great guy. So imagine that. They're flying it to L.A., and all the other games are in this area.
Right.
Think about it.
That's
Pittsburgh,
so great.
Baltimore, right here. We got
Redskins, Giants.
Yeah, and everything's, so that's kind of interesting. And I look at, and we'll get into that, but things are just set up pretty well, but there are some tough games. Obviously, when you have to go away to L.A., even the Rams I would consider mediocre, maybe slightly better than average team, yeah, that's not an easy ask to go out and play a 4-0-5 game. Spence.
When's the last time the Rams have ever beaten the Eagles in L.A.? I don't think they've ever done it in the last decade. The Eagles own the Rams. We remember Nick Foles going there and win. We remember Carson Wentz got hurt. The Eagles still won that game a couple years ago. The Eagles won by 14 points over the Rams. I don't remember the last time the Eagles beat the Rams. Here's the thing about what I want to say, too, is this is going to be a big game for Quinyon Mitchell. And this was supposed to be a weak cornerback class. A really good cornerback class was the one with Stingley and Sauce Gardner. There was a reason that no one drafted a cornerback until the 20s because it was supposed to be a weak cornerback class. But Quinyon Mitchell is not playing like a late first round pick. He's playing like a superstar. He shut down Terry McLaurin. He's been playing fantastic. You also look at Cooper DeJean. really playing solid. And then Zach Bond out of Wisconsin was a fifth-round pick. I wondered, why is Zach Bond waiting in this 2015 draft or 2017 draft? The Saints just picked him up, and the Saints cut him. He's never played inside linebacker. How did the Eagles just do this? They're just magical. They can make players change positions. They can draft rugby players, and everything works because they're coaching development and analytics with Howie Roseman. They are just so far ahead of every other team. Like, I talked to a friend of mine who knows people in the NFL, and they say the Eagles analytic department, as much as I scoff at analytics and roll my eyes and don't love it, that wins. And it's just insane how the Eagles defense is playing.
So here's a question.
Yes.
Is it analytics in terms of selecting talent or analytics in terms of game management or both?
It's both, and I know we're getting to the Rams. I just wanted to give a shout-out, I guess, to Quinyon Mitchell's playing like a pro bowler, and he's a rookie. He's like 22 years old. That's insane. Insane.
What do you see with – obviously, the last game was very impressive. When they played the Redskins, 7-3, a complete slogfest, and obviously Hurts looked terrible in the first half, and they came back and played much better, although without mentioning any stars or – you know, I did mention it in one thing, but I'm not going to mention it again. People I respect who are Eagles veterans who are retired have said that the Hurts is very slow processing and going through his reads. And that's something we all see. And again, you could get over it. We almost won a Super Bowl. We're 3 points from a Super Bowl with that. So he has his strengths and weaknesses. Wow. But one of the things he does lock on to one player, and then he'll have a safety valve, and that's all you're going to get, really.
Well, Doc, he's very fortunate that he's got a running back that should be an MVP candidate. It's an MVP candidate, maybe the MVP of the league right now, and Saquon Barkley, another touched the ball 26 times, had over 100-plus yards, a couple touchdowns. You know, he's very lucky, because if we were counting on him to make plays, put up the ball 40, 50 times, I think we're in a different – I don't think they're 8-2 right now.
No, you're absolutely right. And if we look at the health of the team, and I report on the post-game injury report, right now the whole team – basically you have Covey, who'll be back in 2 weeks, who had a scapular fracture. That's merely a time-based thing. Once that big bone heals, he'll be fine. And the rest of the team is virtually all healthy. It's very unusual at this point in the season to have the whole team be healthy.
And Charlie, can you just quickly, compare – because I believe that the NFC and the AFC, I believe that, Charlie, the AFC is just so much more dominant than the NFC.
Not true at all. Detroit might be the best team in the league right now. I don't know how they can be more dominant if the best team is in the NFC. You have basically your top heavy with Kansas City and Buffalo. Then you go in that tier down with, Pittsburgh is not in the upper echelon. They're close.
How about Baltimore?
But I wouldn't call them one. I wouldn't call Baltimore's got four losses now.
But the quarterbacks are just so much better in the AFC.
Spence, we're going to roll into their picks now.
Even the Bengals are not going to make the play.
You'll have a chance to talk to Bengals, or maybe not, depending on the picks. Here we go. Let's roll.
All right, Doc. So we kick it off Thursday night. Pittsburgh, I don't know how they won the other night against Baltimore. They're 8-2. They travel up to Cleveland. Cleveland, abysmal. Just have an awful season, 2-8. Cleveland's getting 3.5 points to start. Where are we going?
The line, that's really bizarre. So you're saying all they get is 3.5 points?
I am.
And you're talking to Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Last week, I've been going with my gut feeling, and it's been, when I see something that just looks ridiculous, the Browns are horrible. I'm taking the Steelers, and I'm going to go right on the limb, right out of the gate, this is my lock of the week.
Yeah, the Steelers, Bruce, they don't score a lot of points, and the Browns do have a really good defense, and Russell Wilson throws for about 150 yards every game. But the thing about Russ is he always has two great touchdowns, and also Jameis Winston, if the Steelers bring their defense, they're going to turn Jameis over. I agree, but I think it'll be a 5-7 point win specifically, but I'll take the Steelers as well.
Go ahead, Josh.
I think Russell Wilson is stepping into another contract, so I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Colin, audio?
I can't
hear you. Are you silent, Bob?
Oh,
go ahead.
It's okay. We could go to Charlie.
No, okay.
I got it.
He's back. He's back.
Go ahead. Who do you take?
Sorry about that. I'm looking at the over-under. It's 36.5. To me, that means ugly game. And to me, it means Pittsburgh wins, but Cleveland covers.
Interesting. Charlie, go ahead.
straight old school this week. No BS. Cleveland wins outright.
Wow.
Winston, you know, by the way, Winston threw for 400 yards last week, was a victim of some bad luck. But I watched that most of the entire game of almost every game. James Winston played fantastic last week.
Well, that's why you are the man, the insider. I watched 0 minutes of Cleveland. And the good news, I didn't miss anything. Go ahead.
Okay, so we have Arizona. They're 6-4. This is like the ugly division of the NFC. You get Arizona 6-4. They are traveling to Seattle 5-5. The Seahawks are getting a point. Obviously, they're getting some good play from DK Metcalf. Kenneth Walker's been solid. Arizona's up and down. They got Kyler Murray doing wonderful things 1 week. And he's suspect the next week.
Is the game in Seattle?
It's in Seattle. So Seattle's
okay, getting... Okay, I'm really a big believer in the home field, especially in Seattle. These teams, if the game was in Arizona, I'd have a completely different opinion about it. But I think Seattle, I've been riding them a little bit, and they've been great. And Arizona, they're off and on team. I think Seattle is just going to knuckle down and win.
Two words. Stay away. I would stay away from this game. I mean, I think it's going to be a seesaw game. I think that a last-second Matt Prater field goal. Arizona's great at winning these really tight ball games. They won at San Francisco. They won at Miami. Arizona's going to win this game real tight.
I'm going to go with Seattle.
You're going with Seattle?
I am.
Colin?
Good win for the Seahawks last week. I'll pick them again.
Charlie?
Good win for the Seahawks, feeling good about themselves until they lose to Arizona this week at home.
Ooh, curveball. Nice. Next game.
All right, so we got 7-4, Baltimore Ravens traveling to the L.A. Chargers. The Chargers held on to the game against the Cincinnati Bengals last on Sunday night. Charlie, I was impressed with what the Chargers are doing right now. They got a young team. J.K. Dobbins has found himself again. Lade McConkey, he looked really good. Jim Harbaugh knows how to coach. So the Chargers,
what's the points situation?
Chargers, ironically, I have them giving up 3.5.
So Chargers are getting 3.
Chargers are getting 3.5. That's I'm sorry.
From the Ravens?
The Chargers are favored.
Yeah,
in
Chargers
this game?
Are favored.
And it's in L.A.,
no,
right?
Chargers are underdogs.
Yeah,
they're the underdogs.
At home?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
In L.A.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think this is another tough game to pick. I think it'll be a fun game to watch, but I just believe in the Ravens. They're just a real tough team this year, and I think they're going to keep winning. Chargers have had some ups, but these teams oscillate from week to week, and I think Herbert's going to be on the run. I'm taking the Ravens.
You know what's insane? On a neutral field, the Chargers would be the Ravens would be favored by 6 points, almost a touchdown over the Chargers, which really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. However, the Ravens just lost. We could live in a world where the Ravens could win. Oh, this is the toughest game to pick. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens here. I am. But it's again, I already regret it.
Josh, you immediately regret your decision?
I'll take the Ravens, though.
Go ahead.
That was quick, Spencer. You know, Doc, I got to be honest with you. For some reason, they're not flashy, and they're finding ways to win. So I'm going to take the Chargers.
Go ahead, Colin.
Totally agree with Josh. I have this weird gut feeling. Chargers.
Chargers at home in that SoFi Stadium. That is a beautiful $5 billion stadium. Charlie?
Derrick Henry, only 13 carries last week at Pittsburgh. He'll carry a double that this week, and Baltimore will right the ship.
Okay, I like that. I like that pick because it goes along with what I was saying. Go ahead.
Okay, we have San Francisco 5-5, traveling up to Green Bay. Green Bay -2. Packers are 7-3 right now. Jordan Love looked pretty good. It's been a solid year so far.
Okay, I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the Pack. The Pack is back, and I'm just going to take the Packers for because I think they're playing at Lambeau. It's got to get a little bit colder, even though the polar ice cap's melting. It's still got to be a little colder. Spets?
You know what? I think the Packers are resting on their laurels, kind of after their very fortunate win. They want. Did you see they blocked a field goal and won?
Yep.
I'm going to take the Niners. It's backs against the wall. They need the game. The Niners are going to run the football, and the Niners are going to win this game.
5 minutes, so we're going to start rolling. Go ahead, Josh.
Doc, you know what? I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take Green Bay. I'm going to take Green Bay at home. I really like it.
Colin?
I'm also going to take the Packers.
Charlie?
Brock Purdy really picked a bad year to
poop the bed
with his contract year, man. But I'm still going to think San Fran's going to somehow win this game. They have to.
Poop the bed.
Sorry,
you were talking about Adam Schiff, right? You mean Schiff the bed? Just to clarify for the FCC,
sorry about that.
Schiff the bedded. Not my favorite congressman out west. Is this game five?
Game five. Game
all righty, let's go.
Game cinco.
Detroit 9-1, having a phenomenal year. Jared Goff had 4 touchdowns last week. He's got 2 great backs in David Montgomery, Jordan, Jamar Gibbs, and then Amon St. Brown has found the end zone 8 straight times. Doc, the last time that was done was by Devontae Adams in 2020. They're taking on. They're traveling to the broken Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are getting 7.5.
Is this Vikings Colts? What game?
I'm sorry. Indianapolis Colts.
What game is that?
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit Colts. Okay.
Detroit Colts. 2 Midwestern teams.
What's the 7.5?
7.5.
The Colts. The quarterback there is
Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson's coming back. I'm going to ride those Lions. I mean, I don't think the Colts are any good. They're going to win by 14. I don't see Anthony Richardson doing anything. That guy is the whatever. Go ahead.
I Bruce, you know what's so funny is that, you know, we were together in lockstep last week, but unfortunately, I think the Colts defense is sneaky. Richardson had 1 good game. I know it was against like a bad Jets team, but I think the Colts will cover.
Josh?
I know I'm going to go against Charlie's way. I mean, he thinks Anthony Richardson's the next coming, but I'm going to go with Detroit.
Colin?
I'm going to go with the Colts here. Lions got to hit 1 speed bump.
He's going with the horses. Charlie?
Colts, Anthony Richardson, one of the top 20 running backs in the game. He's a terrible quarterback. I do think Detroit is, Detroit has been blowing everyone out. I got to believe they're going to lay a dud 1 weekend. This could be the week, and I'll take the 7. That's a lot of points. I'll take it. 7.5, I'll take it.
Now we have the game of the week. Eagles going to Los Angeles, and what is the spread?
The Rams are getting 3 points.
Okay. I am feeling the Eagles. And again, Spencer made a great point about the Eagles' success against the Rams. 3 points will not be enough. The Eagles are going to continue rolling because they have some big games coming up. So I'm just taking the home Eagles, and I feel comfortable about it. Go ahead, Spence.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the Rams, they let Drake May just waltz up and down the field on them. Puka Nacua, if he's not getting...
God bless you.
If he's not getting ejected, he's getting injured in every game, Puka Nacua. So I think the Eagles win this game by double digits. I don't think it's close.
What do you think, Josh?
I think the Eagles keep the ball on the ground, they win. That's what I think, so...
Colin?
Birds are on a roll, they keep it going.
And Charlie?
If it was just that easy, huh? Rams outright.
There it is. I want to thank everybody. This is the fastest hour in sports. I felt like I was jogging, baby. I felt like I was running. No, I wasn't jogging like Embiid. But what a great night we had. Everybody, enjoy watching the stream and enjoy watching Embiid the dog. But in any event, on that happy note... Good night and good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child regardless of race, income, or zip code, and to enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way. Who help others with the help of others. Who bounce back after each setback. Who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future. who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manning was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Manion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way. Who help others with the help of others. Who bounce back after each setback. Who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Manion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisManion.org. That's TravisManion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future. who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community, and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of